Well, I want to thank my pastor for allowing me to speak tonight. Amen. And such an awesome privilege at our hour of power. Amen. Such wonderful pastors that we have. So privileged and honored to serve underneath them. Amen. So before we get started, I want to make one last commercial plug for our regional game. All the life groups are getting together that night on the 20th, but make sure that you bring your whole life group. Don't be, oh, hey, you know, I know they said it's all together, but I'm going to stay home and eat Fruit Loops. Make sure, because I'm the only one that eats Fruit Loops. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Whatever you do, amen. So make sure you do that. We've been having some powerful, pure courage classes. We started this Saturday. They've been awesome. They're going to continue next Saturday. So, and it's not too late. If you know young people, you know, 13 to 30 that aren't married, amen, encourage them to join in to Pure Courage. It'll help teach them how to be a man of God. And this coming Saturday on the 14th, myself and Pastor Danny have the privilege of speaking at our Pure Courage. Awesome, awesome time. All right. So it is an hour of power, so I better jump into it. Amen. Once again, we want to welcome everybody. Especially our first-time visitors. If you're here for the first time, we want to welcome you. Or if you just came back maybe a second or third or fourth time you've been here, so great to have you here with us at Victory Outreach. Amen. So go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 12. Amen. Give me a loud amen when you get there. Praise the Lord. The Bible reads in Genesis chapter 12, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you.' So Abram went out as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and the possessions that they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, 'To your offspring, I will give this land.' So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him." Father, we come before you tonight, Lord, and I just pray, God, that you would, Father, bless the reading of your word, that you would bless the service, that your Holy Spirit, God, your Holy Ghost would have full control, God, that your word would come forward with simplicity and power, that every heart would be opened to receive what you have in store for him tonight. I pray, Father, for those that are struggling, those, God, that are in doubt or confusion, those, God, that might have come in, Lord, no, oh, Father, that are still need deliverance. And Father, I just pray, God, for every leader, every person in our recovery home, every person in the congregation, every person in this place, Lord, that you would have a word just for them, Lord. We love you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here we see Abram. Amen. We catch up with him, and this is where he receives a promise. So Abram receives a promise from the Lord. The Lord appears to him, and he gets this great promise. Amen. And how many of you know that we all have promises from God? Right? And he even wrote them down. He wrote them down in the Bible. So if you're ever looking for a promise, there's plenty of promises just for you in the Bible. There's promises for your family, promises for your finances, promises for your loved ones, promises for victory, promises for strength and healing and getting you through trials and tribulations. There are many promises here in the Bible for each and every one of us. I know myself, I came in a lost, broken young person. And you know what? When I opened up the Word, there was promises there for me that I've been able to hold on to all these years. Amen. That have gotten me through, that have gotten me breakthrough, that have gotten me to where I'm at today. And I want to encourage you to look and through prayer and the reading of the Word to get your promises. Because God has promises for you. Now let me read some of the promises that God gave Abraham. And see, some of these promises are our promises. Amen. That God didn't just write them here for Abraham. He wrote them here for you and I. These are our promises. We can take these promises. Amen. See, the one thing about the Word is, you know, it's you have to, first you have to read it, and then you have to have the faith to believe it. You're saying, well, I don't believe it. Well, if you don't believe, then you're not going to get it. Right? You need to take this Word and stand on it. So let's read a few of the promises. First it says, I will make you into a great nation. So right here, the first promise to Abram right here, I will make you into a great nation. Now, Abram, through the generations, traced back all the way to Shem, which was the son of Noah. See, in that time, how many know that God himself came down, he said, you know what, I wish I never even made these people. That's what God said. Imagine God said, I wish I never even made these people. That was the generations that came before Abram. That was the past. And sometimes we can relate with that. We can reach back and we can look at our households and we can look at our family. We can look at our our last names even, right? Oh, you're one of those guys. You belong to that family or you're from that neighborhood or you're from that city. You're from that town or, you know, you talk funny because you're from Espanola. Come on, somebody. Those guys, Espanola, we don't talk funny. Everybody else talks funny. Right, Katrina? But here he says, I will make you into a great nation. I'll make you into a great nation. You see, that he wasn't part of a great nation before. He was part of a nation that was so wicked, God had to flood the earth to get rid of them. God had to get that. That's the lineage back through Shem and the son of Noah and the people of that time. God had to flood the earth just to get rid of them. Oh, but here's Abram, generations later. Here is a man that says, you know what? I'm not part of that past generation. Yeah, that my last name might have been this, and I might be from that neighborhood, and might be from that town or that city, or I might be a part of that. But you know what? Nevertheless, I'm not going to let my past dictate my future. Just because I started there doesn't mean I'm going to finish there. But I'm going to receive and hold on to every promise that God has given me. It doesn't matter where you start. It doesn't matter how much time you've done or how much crime you've done. Because God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He'll make you into a great nation. A great nation of people. He wants to put you in a great people. Imagine that. You were part of the problem and now you're part of the solution. Right? You were no good for nothing. Right? You were a menace to society. Right? You were in the hood up to no good. But now God has brought you and put you a part of a great nation. You are part of Victory Outreach International, Victory Outreach Albuquerque. Amen. God put you a part of a great nation. He said, I will make your name great. Right, some of you didn't have a great name. Right? You didn't know, no. They talked about you. People that didn't even know you knew you. Right? I remember getting locked up when I was doing time in Roswell, and I'd walk in and they'd see they'd ask me who I was. Oh yeah, I heard about you. You're the guy that burnt his own friends. Yeah, that was me. Right? You used to have all kinds of names. Right? You had all kinds of, you know. Some of you still go by your own names. Right? They're like, you know, Cricket and Mousy and Shy Girl and, right? Right? They call me Chulo. They never call me, I'm just saying, that's somebody else. You know what's sad? Is some of you didn't get your name till you got saved. Right? Here it's Sister 411, Sister Gossip, Sister Flirt, right? Sister Short Skirt, right? You got your name when you got saved, right? The Men's Home Mac Daddy, Brother, what's your number? Because every time you talk to a girl, you're asking for her number. Backsliding Bobby, Facebook Freddy, Instagram Sam. You got your name after you got saved. I read Adoride. That was it. That was it. But see, God gave Abram a promise. He said, you won't be that same person no more. You ain't going to be known for ripping and running and flirting and doing all that stuff. You ain't going to be known for backsliding and in and out. But you are going to be known. Your name is going to be a great. You are going to be a man of God, a woman of God. You're going to answer the call of God. What people talk about you ain't going to be bad no more, but it's going to be a good thing. Like, look at, why can't you be more like him? Ain't never, no one ever said that about you before. Really? Hey, why don't you be more like your cousin Charles there? Ain't no one ever said that before. Why don't you be more like Savannah? Oh, 2-3 years ago, ain't nobody said that. Oh, but look what God has done. The judge used to make example, and now you are an example. Woo! Let me get back to this thing up here. And your name shall be great. I will bless those that bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. I got to move fast because we're out of power. Let me skip all that. So that's the promise. So God has given us promises. Now go to Genesis chapter 22. And how do you know with every promise there's a process? Come on, somebody. Let's talk about it tonight. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I, the boy, go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up to his father Abraham. Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied, the fire and wood are here. Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went up together. You know, talk about Abram and Abraham, and you know, you look in back where we read in chapter 12, and the promise that God gave Abram, at that time his name was Abram, the promise that he gave him was this. If you notice, he pointed to an area that was inhabited by the Canaanites, and he said, and your offspring will settle here. This is a place for your offspring. And see, Isaac was his offspring. This was a promise that God had given him, and yet we see that God had told him, listen, the very promise that I've given you, I want you to go and I want you to sacrifice that promise. I want you to do something so amazingly ridiculous, something that I, you know, and some of us, we could say, you know what, God, I know God promised me this job, or I know God promised me this, whatever it is, why would God take it away? Right? Why would God take it away? Let me tell you a story. A number of years ago, I'm not going to say how many, but it was a while ago, it was my first time riding a zip line. Now, who knows what a zip line is? I'm in the right place. Okay, so I'm first time riding the zip line, and the one thing who has, like, fears? Everybody has some fears, right? How many don't like spiders? Right, I don't like spiders. How about snakes? Snakes are a big one. Okay. Now, the number one fear that I have, number one, is heights. I hate heights. Oh, I hate heights. I can't stand heights, right? I don't like to be on the roof of places. I don't like, you know what I mean? I don't even like to be on my own roof, right? Heights. Because what if I fall off and I break something? And it's just scary, right? So there we are. We're in Glorieta. No, I'm sorry. Back it up. We're in Bonita Park. And it's a men's thing, a men's retreat or whatever, I think. Or is it a youth thing? I don't know. It's so long ago. It wasn't that long ago, but for the sake of this story, for me telling you how afraid I was, we're going to say it was a very, very long time ago. So we're there, and I remember climbing. You got to climb all the way to the top. There's not like an escalator. There's not like, you know what I mean? You got to climb this ladder, and this ladder is like straight vertical. It's not, you know, it's straight up. And when you get to the top, it looks so far down. It's so amazingly far down. You see the people go before you, and it's, you know, they're going. It's like, man, who would do this, right? Why would someone want to do this? It blows my mind. But there I was, and I had people watching me, so I had a man up. And so I'm there, and I remember there was this nice girl there. I don't know, she might have been in her teens or early 20s, and she's hooking the harness up, and it's, you know, all hooked up, whatever it was. I think at the bottom we put the harness pants on. I don't know. You know what I'm talking about, where they hook the thing up. And so we're there, and she's hooking it up, and it's my turn, right? So it's my turn, and so let me give you the visual. So it's my turn, and we're standing up here, and, you know, that one's clear. And she looks at me, and she says, go ahead. And I look at her and I say, go ahead, what? And she says, it's your turn. And then, you know, a couple seconds go by, and she sees, like, I'm, like, in duress, right? She's probably witnessed a few other people in the situation before. And she goes, you know what, sometimes it helps if you sit down and you just off. I thought it was a good idea. So I sit down, and I'm waiting there. And it's still really scary, right? So I'm sitting there waiting there, and then she goes, you know what helps is if I count down. I said, that sounds like a good idea. So I close my eyes, and she counts down. She goes, 3, 2, 1. And I said, can you count down from 10? So, you know, I finally go. The second countdown, I went. I remember her words when I was first up there, before she told me to sit down. All she said was all you have to do is take a step. All you got to do is take a step. Right? I'm on this corner, and mind you, I did not take a step. I sat down. But I was there, and she looked at me, and she goes, all you got to do is take a step. Right? And I began to think about the promises that God has given me. So many times, fear grips us. Right? What'll happen if I do this? What'll happen if I do that? I can't let go of my job. I can't ask for this time off. I can't do this. I can't do that. What'll happen if I do this? And all you got to do is take a step. All you got to do is take a step, and God will be with you. Let me get back to the scriptures here. Genesis 22, the process, 1 through 10. So we see Abraham, he gets there, and he gets to the mountain, and he even tells his son Isaac. He said, God himself will provide the lamb. God himself will provide the sacrifice for the burnt offering. And see, some people get messed up because they think they have to give something that they got to God. They got to give something that... See, the thing is you didn't have it before God gave it to you. You don't have to give God nothing that he didn't give you first. Right? God gave you your life. And when he asked for it back... All you got to do is say, God, the life that you gave me, right, I want to give back to you. I want to die to myself, pick up my cross, and follow you every day. With your tithes and your offerings, you say, God, but I didn't get enough to give you my tithe. God said the only reason that you have anything is because that's what I gave you in the first place. That's your tithe. You wouldn't have that tithe without God. And that's all you'll ever have if you don't give your tithe from it to God. You say, but God, I ain't got a raise in 10 years. You ain't paid a tithe in 10 years. I'm too broke to give. Listen, you're going to stay broke if you don't give. Keep on with this thing. Man, I tell you something. I know I said it before, but my first tithe out of the home was $22. Was my first tithe. Right? So my paycheck, you guys do the math. Nobody. Okay. Do the math. Now that's my tithe. My paycheck turned into my tithe. Because I'm educated? Well, if I had a degree, I'd make more money. No, if you had a commitment and faith in God, you'd make more money. The degree helps. I'm not saying don't get a degree. I'm saying give you tithe, see what happens. Let's move on. So we got the promise, then we got the process. Can you imagine what Abraham's going through? Like, how am I going to, but then he says it. He says it, God will provide himself a sacrifice. God, he'll provide himself. You might be thinking, if you're in the recovery home, how can I give a year? Listen, the year, I can't even imagine if I left the home. I can't even imagine if I never went to the home. I can't even imagine. I wouldn't have my family. I wouldn't have my job. I wouldn't have my church. I'd be no good for nothing. I'd probably be dead in prison. I would be in, I'd lose my mind. I'd be in the crazy house. It's just a year. It's just a year. You're going to waste another four. If you leave the home, you're going to waste another 4 years. You're going to get busted and disgusted. You're going to do all kinds of crazy stuff. You're going to lose the other half of your teeth, and then you're going to come back to the home 4 years later wishing you never left. I'm not even preaching on the stuff I wrote down tonight. Verse 10. Let's go for verse 9. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him at the altar on the top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from the heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." See, that's what happens when we don't hold anything back from God. When we don't hold anything back. See, that's the problem. Sometimes we hold back from God. We hold back our time. We hold back our talents. We hold back our commitment. We hold back our finance. We hold all these things back from the Lord. But here we see the Lord told Abraham, "Since I know that you won't withhold anything from me, now that I know that you won't hold back anything, now that I know that there is nothing that you won't do, nothing that you won't give me," then we go from the promise to the process and now to the provider. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram, sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." Listen, everything that you need, every financial thing you need, every spiritual thing that you need, every emotional thing you need is on the mountain of God. All you got to do is begin to climb that mountain. All you got to take one step at a time, just like standing on the edge of that zip line. All you got to do is take a step up the mountain of God, and on the mountain of God is everything that you need. See, sometimes we start to look for things away from God because we're saying, "Oh, I can't find what I need in church. I can't find what I need in Jesus. I got to go try to find a man. I got to try to find a woman. I got to try to find a job. I got to try to find all. I can't do it in church. You're trying to do it without God." Oh, but if you would look in the mountain of God, He has everything that you need. Everything that you need, God already has it. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns the destiny, the purpose He created you for. He has every blessing that He wants to give you. See, what happens? We start to bless ourselves. It turns into a mess. Come on, somebody. Right? You try to bless yourself. Well, you know what? I want to find my own rib. I want to find my own. I want to go my own way. You know, maybe I'll go to the club. Maybe I'll go to the bar. Maybe I'll try this place and that place. And then all you did was light the fuse to the bomb that's about to go off. Come on, somebody. Because that thing's going to blow up in your face. Everything that you need for the purpose and the call and the destiny of God is on the mountain of God. Everything that you need. Everything that you need. See, the problem is you don't seek God. So what we do is we end up with the things that we see. We end up with doing things our own way instead of seeking God for His way. We do things our own way, and what happens is it keeps on turning into the same old thing, right? The same old trial. Sometimes we go through trial after trial, year after year, right? Relationship after relationship, job after job. Instead of saying, "You know what, God, I'm going to try doing things your way this time." So it goes from the promise, the process, to the provider, and lastly, the possession. Chapter 22, verse 14, if I can get the keyboard player up. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand of the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Almost identical to what he said in chapter 12, the promises that he gave him originally. Here we see that he receives the possession of his promise. The possession of his promise. See, he had to go through the test. He had to go through the process. Don't give up in your process. Don't, before you possess your promises, don't abort the process. Because God has something for you. God has something so amazing for your life. He has a plan. Don't think that God's not in control. Even when we feel like we're out of control, God is always in control. It might feel like all hell's breaking loose, but God is in control. The wind and the waves might be, the storm might be going, but God is still in control. Listen, if God didn't bring the storm and the wind never pushed the sail, your ship would never get to where it's supposed to go. God knows what he's doing. Let's all stand to our feet tonight. That might be you here tonight. You might be thinking that, you know, I've gotten some promises, or I haven't gotten some promises. I want to get some promises from the Bible, from the Lord, and I want to stand on. You might be here for the very first time here tonight and have no idea what we're talking about. Listen, read your Bible. God has such an amazing plan for your life, filled with promises for you and your family. But then also connected to those promises is a process that each and every one of us have to go through. This walk is a walk of faith. It takes faith to go through, not seeing the promise come to pass yet, but still believing by faith, knowing that God is in control. You'll have to go through a process, and sometimes it doesn't feel good. Sometimes it feels like it's the hardest thing that you've ever done. But I promise you this, if you would press through and press on, then it's going to be worth it every day that you wait upon the Lord. Oh, when he comes through, you can look back and say it was worth it. Oh, it was worth it. It was worth the wait. It was worth the struggle. It was worth the storm to see what God has done in my life. That's you say, man, I feel like quitting. I'm in the process. I feel like quitting. I feel like walking away. Listen, don't walk away. God's about to come through. Just in the nick of time, the Bible says that he will never give you more than you can handle. Some of you feel like I can't handle anymore. That's because God's about to show up right now and take that heavy burden off your shoulders. God's about to renew your strength. He's about to renew your energy. He's about to give you a fresh fire. All you got to do is trust in him. Tap into his presence. Trust in his plan. All he wants to provide for you. Everything, every sacrifice you need to make, God has already given you the ability to do so. God has already, the sacrifice that Abraham had to make, without God, he would have never had Isaac. He would have never had the sacrifice. Listen, God has already given you everything that you need to serve him. Everything that you need to obtain his promises, to obtain his possession, to obtain your destiny and your purpose, God has already given you. You just got to take it with you through the process. If that's you here tonight and God spoke to you, I want you to go ahead and make your way out of your seats tonight. Come to the altar. Let's get a hold of the Lord tonight.